Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com. Today, I am beyond excited to welcome to our show Dr. Joe Vitale. Dr. Joe Vitale is a prolific author of many best-selling books, including The Attractor Factor, Zero Limits, and his latest, The Miracle, Six Steps to Enlightenment, and Anything is Possible, Seven Steps to Doing the Impossible. One of the world's top motivational speakers, he is a popular star of the movie The Secret and an internationally famous expert on the law of attraction and clearing beliefs. Dr. Joe created the Miracle Coaching Program to help people achieve their dreams. Once homeless, he is today a model of prosperity who believes in miracles and has spent the last four decades learning to master the skills of channeling the pure creative energy of life without resistance. Oh my goodness, welcome to the show, Dr. Joe. How are you?
I'm great. How could I not be great? Look where I'm at. I'm not on your show. We have to talk about bliss and helping people.
Right? Life is meant to be blissful.
Well, it's a choice and we can choose that right now.
That's exactly right. Thank you. So tell us what you're on a mission to do, Dr. Joe. Let's just start there.
I'll tell you, my mission is to inspire people to go for and achieve their dream. Mm-hmm. And I do that through my books, through my audios, through my talks, my speeches, my music, the movies I'm in. Everything that I'm doing is in the direction of awakening people. I want them to be free. I want them to dissolve all their limiting beliefs, whether it's about money, success, empowerment, so that they can live this life of being an awakened millionaire. An awakened millionaire with that balance of the spiritual and the material all enclosed in one. And to do that, what I do is inspire people. That's my goal. That's my mission.
I love that. So I call myself the blissful millionaire.
I love it.
Yeah. And I actually wrote a book called Choose Bliss because how we live our life is our choice, right? Yeah. And I really am about bringing together our hearts and our minds and the material all together, because I think without all of that, being really rich can be very empty. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Usually people are going on one extreme or the other. They dismiss one or the other. A lot of spiritual people will dismiss wealth. They'll say it's too material. And a lot of material people will be so focused on greed and ego gratification that they dismiss the spiritual side of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying you want a balance of both. Mm-hmm. It's an inside out experience. And in many ways, it's two sides of the very same coin. The spiritual and the material. I'm a material person. I'm in a physical body, as are you, but inside is the spiritual. Mm-hmm. So this encompassed being right here is how I want to walk through life. And I want to have a blend, and I want everybody else to have a blend of the spiritual and the material. There's not one over the other. It's not one is wrong and one is right. It's actually you want both together. Integration.
I feel like so many people kind of, segregate their life into pieces, you know, like they feel like it's all separated. I talk to people all the time that are like, you know, I'm a really spiritual person. And somehow this idea of real estate feels too grounded and solid. And I want to do it, but I feel like it's a separate piece. To me, everything that I do is a spiritual experience. When I'm, you know, buying a home, it's about uplifting that community. It's a part of our planet. It's about creating a home for somebody. So for me, even the experience of being in real estate is a spiritual experience for me. And it fulfills me in that way. That's part of what bliss is all about.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
Is really that integration so that none of those pieces are out kind of outliers. They're all a part of you and they can all support your joy and your bliss, not just be that thing outside. You know, like a lot of people think, I'll be blissful when I'm rich. No, you can be blissful through the journey, right?
Right. What you just said is so beautiful and there's so many things I can comment on. I think I'll just begin at the end there where you were talking about the bliss itself. There's two ways that we can look at this. And one is you can look for the work that makes you feel in bliss. And Hopefully for the people listening to this, it's real estate. But it may be something else. And you want to find whatever that life calling is for you. But the other approach, and this is more of a Napoleon Hill approach, is to find bliss in what you're already doing.
Yes.
So whatever it happens to be, turn your mind around so that you have a different perspective of it. Instead of thinking that it's a chore or it's only done for money or it's a job, you look at it as an extension of your being. It's an extension of your spirituality. So while you're doing it, while you're in the process of whatever this job is, you find the good in it. You find the spirit in it. You find the passion in it. You find the joy in it. And you end up excelling in it for that very reason. So that's one level of it. But the other one is actually finding what's your life calling. What is your passion that you can bring into the marketplace? As you know, one of the books I've written is called The Awakened Millionaire. And The Awakened Millionaire is really teaching people to really have that ruthlessly honest talk with themselves about what excites you. What turns on your inner light bulb? What is one that makes your heart race a little bit? And maybe it's real estate. Maybe it's something else. It could be different for each person watching. And I think everybody has a particular calling. When they start to follow that calling, that is their road of bliss through life. Mm-hmm. I've written 70-some books. And when people look at me and they go, oh, my God, he's written 70-some books. He's a workaholic. He's just working all the time. But from my view, it's easy. I can write a book this afternoon or tomorrow and come out with it the following day because it's an extension of my personal bliss. Mm-hmm. When you find your calling, which in this case could be real estate for everybody listening, that can be the lit path that you walk in bliss to a further bliss. And you're making a contribution to the world when you follow your own life path. So those are at least two ways to look at the concept of bliss.
You know, and actually you can have both. So I will say this, my true heart work is in my book, Choose Bliss. It's really about helping people to see that bliss is their birthright and that they can walk this life in bliss. And then to give them keys and tools and ideas on how to do that. That's my true heart work. The unfortunate thing that I have found, and this is not true for everybody, but it is what I have found for myself, is that being an author is not necessarily the path to wealth. It's my path to bliss, but not necessarily yet my path to wealth. And what has provided the wealth to bankroll the passion husband real estate, right? So they're two pieces of the same coin, as you say, one bankrolls the other, but it doesn't mean that I'm just working hard in real estate to bankroll the other piece. I find my bliss. I've married the two in real estate. And so anybody who's listening, whether real estate is your passion or not, real estate is still one of the most safe ways to build wealth so that then you can go out and create the impact in the world that you want. And you're not so worried about whether it's going to pay the bills or not. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I'm glad you said that, because I don't want in any way, shape, or form for somebody to think I'm dismissing real estate. Mm-hmm. I know real estate is one of the proven ways of attracting wealth and becoming a millionaire or multimillionaire. And in fact, I need to tell you this story. I was in Thailand recently, and I had gone a couple of times there because of a young man who brought me over. He's 36 years old at this point. 15 years ago, he was homeless, absolute homeless, 15 years ago at the age of 20. And when he was homeless, somebody had given him a copy of the book, The Secret. And The Secret, of course, is based on the famous movie, which if people haven't seen it, go watch The Secret. It's on Amazon, Netflix, thesecret.tv. It's all over the place. And that's about using your mind to create your reality, no matter what it is. He didn't like the book. He didn't think the book would work. And he was mad because he was homeless and somebody gives him a book rather than money. So he decided to prove the book's principles wrong.
Ooh, I love that.
And as he began to prove the principles wrong, he found that they worked. Mm-hmm. Now, 15 years later, 16 years later, he is a billionaire with a B at 36 years old, and he's the largest real estate developer in southern Thailand.
Wow.
He showed me photos of some of the properties that he's working on, and it made my jaw drop. He was thinking bigger and building bigger than I had ever imagined before. My point being, A, you can make a phenomenal amount of money in real estate. It is an assured path to wealth. And you want to have bliss as you're going down that path, because it can be an enjoyable process all along. But the other thing is, he's using, even today, he's still using mind power techniques, visualization techniques, affirmations, all the tools that I and other teachers are talking about that we can use in any sort of business. He just applied it to real estate to prove it works. Mm-hmm. He and I are writing a book about his story called Homeless to Billionaire. Homeless to billionaire. So you want to be looking for that very soon.
Mm. So you were homeless at some point, weren't you?
I was. And that's the interesting thing. My billionaire Thailand friend, his name is Andres Pira, said that I was one of the inspirations for him, because he had heard I had been homeless. And I had been homeless way back in the 1970s, in the late 1970s in Dallas. And that's long before the internet. That's long before a lot of things like wonderful shows like this that we take for granted today. But back then, it was a lonely, dark night of the soul. I was homeless, and I went into poverty for a good 10 years when I lived in Houston. 10 years of struggling, and I wanted to be an author, but I was not an overnight success. I would wait. I'd send out my manuscripts. I was persistent. I was productive. I was creative. I was relentless, but it was not happening right away.
So what happened?
Well, what happened to me is what I teach I want to have happen to everybody else. And it's the idea to find out that your beliefs create your reality. Your beliefs are creating your reality. Now, as I say that, and even when I first heard that, it's like, that's impossible. How do my beliefs create homelessness? How do my beliefs create poverty? How do your beliefs create bankruptcy or struggle or unhappiness or misery? How does all of that happen? And what I teach in my work and in my books is that you have to go deeper than what you consciously are thinking. In the subconscious mind / the unconscious mind is a database of software programming. This is the data. This is the belief systems that you inherited for the most part. You didn't sit around thinking that these were the ones you're going to download. But as we're all born into life, we start downloading unconsciously beliefs from everybody around us. And I will often ask people, were your parents Mr. and Mrs. Buddha? Because most likely they were not. And they had their own baggage. They had limiting beliefs about relationships. They had limiting beliefs about money, success, deservingness. Whether you could have bliss in life, probably growing up, they never even said the word bliss, because it wasn't something of conversation and they didn't even think it was possible. So then you end up being an adult, much like I end up being an adult, and you look around going, how come I'm not happy? How come I'm not blissful? How come I'm struggling with money? How come I'm not a success? How come I'm unemployed? How come my business doesn't work so well? What we have to do is dig deep and find out what are the beliefs that are operating. When I did it during the homeless times, I found out to my own shock that I had been unconsciously believing that the authors I admired most, like Jack London and Ernest Hemingway, classics of American literature, we still think they were geniuses today. I thought I had to model their lifestyle in order to have a career as successful as them. Well, both of them ended up as suicides. Both of them were alcoholic. Both of them had this disastrous life with bad romances and bad investments. And Jack London was dead by the time he was 40 years old. When I realized that I was creating my unemployment, I was creating my poverty, I was creating my homelessness because I thought that was part of what I had to do to be an author, I woke up. And I thought, well, wait a minute, there's bound to be authors out there who are healthy, adjusted, prolific, blissful, profitable, wealthy. And when I looked for these other authors and started to say, well, what are they doing and how are they thinking, and started to model more of them, my life began to change. This is what I find we all have to do. We have to look and go, what are the beliefs that could be operating to create the struggle in business, if that's what we have, or the relationship upheaval, if that's what we have. But we have to look beyond the circumstances around us and say, what part of my belief system put me in this situation and helped attract it and create it? This is big, deep work, and it's foreign to most people because I've never even entertained the idea of doing it. But this is what I teach, is that's where we have to do it. If you want to change your life, you want to change your reality, you want to change your business, you want to improve your business, you don't do it on the outside, not first. You do it on the inside. You take care of the inside belief system, and magically, the outer will begin to change.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit more about the actual process? Like, people listening, you know, we're... And I've talked about this several times. We're at the beginning of a year. That's the end of a decade. We've got this beautiful opportunity to move into the next decade on fire, excited, full of bliss, right? There's so much that we can do to set ourselves up for the next coming decade. And I know a lot of my listeners are stuck. You know, they know they want to invest in real estate. My listeners call me all the time. They're so excited, but they don't know where to get started. And a piece of that is, so what strategies can we do, right? But the bigger piece of that is, what is it that you need to take care inside of you to start taking those first steps? So could you guide us through some of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. In many ways, that's the million-dollar question. And so I'm going to address it in the most condensed but effective way I can think of. The very first one is, you want to state an intention. Mm-hmm. Intention aligns your inner forces, creates a congruence in your body and mind with your conscious and unconscious mind, subconscious mind, and motivates you to take action. It all begins, for me, with an intention. And an intention answers the question, what do you want to have, do, or be? What do you want to have, do, or be? Now, sometimes people shrug and go, I don't know what I want, or I don't know how to word what I want. And I practice more of a tough love approach. I get in their face and I say, you're lying. You're lying. You know what you want. But right now, you're either afraid to admit it to yourself, because if you admit it to yourself, now you have to start making excuses for why you're not going for it. Or you're just going to say, I don't know what I want, and shrug it off, just saying, well, if I knew, I'd go for it. No, you're lying. You're lying. You have to be honest. We all know underneath our fears, which is another thing we have to look at, but underneath our fears, we know what we want. So we have to be honest and say, you know what? I really do want a real estate empire. I really do want to be like the billionaire in Thailand. He's 36 years old and has this colossal business with 200 employees, and I think he has 27 other businesses besides the real estate. And maybe it is what you want. And maybe it is that you want to open a different kind of business, or you want to write a book, or you want to be a mother. I don't know. It's different for each person. But it begins with the ruthless honesty of admitting to yourself, what do I want? in a world of, one of my books, as you mentioned, is called Anything is Possible. In a world where anything is possible, and I actually believe at this point in time, there isn't anything that's impossible. All of the boundaries and the rules and the constructs we create as limitations are all mental constructs. We're looking out of our belief system, looking into the world, and we're saying, oh, that's not possible. We don't know that. We're saying it's not possible because of our beliefs. So we want to go back to, what do you want? In a world of unlimited possibilities, what do you want? Begins there. That's the first step. The second step is, okay, your limiting beliefs and your fears are going to bubble up because you stated the first thing. As soon as you said that I want to have the real estate empire, the beliefs start coming up, like things like, well, it may not happen to me. It happens to other people, but I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I don't have the connections. I don't have the resources. I don't have the team. I don't have the advertising. All of that is going to sound reasonable, but all of those are excuses. There are enough examples of people who come to this country with nothing. They come to the United States or they're in other cities and they arrive with $5 and no connection. And very often they don't even speak the language. Yet within a short period of time, they got a real estate business or they own land or they own property or they own a business. There's enough examples to prove all of the excuses we come up with are nothing but empty, limiting beliefs. And so that's the second step, is to be aware of those as they bubble up. And then the third step is start questioning them, asking yourself, is it true? Is it true that I can't be a success in real estate? Maybe you haven't done it before, but that does, as Tony Robbins says, the past doesn't equal the future. Whatever took place in the past doesn't mean it's going to be matched in the future. You're learning new things, you're getting new skills, you're growing, your mind expanding, you keep listening to this show and other resources show up to help you move down the road. So you end up questioning those limiting beliefs and even asking, where did the limiting belief come from? When you say things like the economy is bad right now, where'd that belief come from? Very often I'll ask people when they say something like that, I'll say, how do you know the economy is bad? They'll say, well, you know, I read it in the paper, or I saw it in the news, or I heard what economists talking about it. My best advice is turn off mainstream news.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, turn off the mainstream news. It is programming you, and it's called programming for a reason. It's programming you to live in fear. And they are skilled at finding things to make you scared, to make you feel like there's lack and limitation in the world, there's no opportunity, and it will keep you small. It will keep you small. Turn off the mainstream news. Consciously listen to the things like your show, your work, and read your book, because this is the kind of stuff that programs you for success. So those are the three things that I would say right off the top of the back. It's off the top of my head. Get going.
So for the whole TV thing, so I haven't watched television in 25 years. Well, you know, I like would watch it for elections or, you know, there are times when I'll watch it. But the thing is this, that as human beings, I think we really love drama. And the reason that we go to television is because they provide drama for us. They're not going to tell us about the cute little kitten that just had babies, right? Or the cute little cat that just had kittens. They're going to tell us about all the horrible things that happened and the economy is whatever. Why? Because that's what people want to listen to. That's what they're going to tune in for. And I believe that if you are constantly looking for drama, then you're diverting your energies from passion.
Mm.
Because drama fulfills that need for sort of that, like those high emotions, right? But if you can kind of shut it off, then you can then focus on the passion bubbling up inside of you that's waiting to make your own story.
That is a remarkable thing to talk about. Let's go a little deeper into that, because we are story beings. Mm-hmm. We tell stories about our lives and we make sense of our lives because of the stories we tell. But because we're brought up in a state of consciousness that I've labeled victimhood, Mm-hmm. Very rarely is anybody born in an awakened state. Very rarely. That's a Buddha kind of an experience. So for the most part, we're all born into this victimhood mentality. And because of the media, because of television, because of a lot of the stories that are already out there, we conclude that this is a struggle, win or lose, death or to the death kind of life experience. It's not blissful at all. It's painful. Mm-hmm. That's what we conclude. And we watch TV, not necessarily you or me, I don't even have a TV, but we watch television sometimes because of the drama in them. And what happens is that our subconscious mind thinks that's life. And so we create more drama in our life, modeling what we saw on television. Mm-hmm. So the TV writers are actually creating these stories where they have a lot of struggle, and sometimes you don't win in those TV shows. Sometimes they have a happy ending and sometimes they don't. But your mind goes, oh, this is what life is like. We must create struggle. That's one version of a story we can do, and that's what most people do. That's why Henry David Thoreau said the vast majority of people live lives of quiet desperation. That story is all about drama, and that's what they're living out of. But here's what you and I are doing. We're telling people they can create a new story. Mm-hmm. And that new story can be one of passion, bliss, triumph. It can be one where we come in and because we're awakened, we dissolve limiting beliefs. We dissolve beliefs about drama, about television, about how it needs to be tough in order to be successful, or how we need to experience sadness in order to be happy. Those are limiting beliefs. Those are not true. When you start to wake up and realize, you know what? I can create this life any way I want it. And right now, I can be in bliss because I choose to. And I can go into my business every day feeling blissful because I choose to. And I can create a story of winning in easy ways because I choose to. When you get to the place of being this more awakened millionaire, if we want to use that phrase from my book, you get to the place where you realize I'm the script writer for my life. Mm-hmm. Most of us are not. By default, we're going with the scripts that the unconscious mind is writing for us. And the unconscious mind is writing them for us because we didn't question our beliefs and we were brought up in that environment that created drama as a way of life. What you and I are doing is creating bliss as a way of life and telling people you can have drama if you want it, or you can come on over here and have bliss. I say life is an optical illusion because in this moment, you can have either one of them. In this moment, you can go and say, wow, this is really dramatic and it's really a struggle. In this moment, you can go, this is very blissful. I'm following my passion and this is actually easy. Life is an optical illusion because you can choose which side you see. And I'm suggesting they look at the bliss side. At first, it might feel uncomfortable because it's a new habit. It's a new way of being. It's a new way of seeing. But the more they choose it, the more it becomes easier and the more it becomes a new path through life.
It becomes a new habit.
It does.
It's something you don't think about. You don't have to work on anymore. I mean, okay, sorry. You do have to work on it. Nothing in life, whether it's drama or less, nothing keeps coming unless you keep feeding it. That's the truth. And that's kind of...
Yes, at first, I just want to add to what you're saying. When we create a new habit, we consciously have to remind ourselves of it every day. Mm-hmm. Science says it takes 30 days for the new habit to kick in. I actually think it takes more like 60 to 90 days. But that's a very limited amount of time compared to your lifespan. Mm-hmm. So if you spend 30 to 90 days every morning listening to your show or reruns or replays of it, listening or reading positive books, feeding yourself success literature, reminding yourself of your intentions and your goals, being aware of any limiting beliefs as they bubble up, and then using different techniques to erase them. You do that every day for 30 to 90 days, and then one day you wake up and the sun is already shining in your soul because you don't have to do the work. You'll probably still do it because you enjoy doing it, but you don't have to do the internal work of reading more, listening to more, picking whatever music makes you sing. You'll probably still do it, but you won't have to consciously remind you to do it because at that point, it is now what we call second nature.
Yeah. Mm. Oh my gosh, you just said so many things there that I won't talk about. I got confused. tell us what you do.
For what? For, you know, give me a hint.
Yeah. So tell us what you, so all of those things that you mentioned, those are all sort of the things that I do to maintain my bliss. You know, I feel like sometimes we have to go out with kind of a bliss shield. You know, you're out there and everybody's got, the whole world is energy, right? And everybody's got their energy and there's some of that negative energy. And instead of taking it on, you want it to kind of bounce off and hopefully your sunshine energy goes out and lifts those people up instead, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got my own practices around that. Do you have practices around that?
Oh, well, that's a great question. Yes, I do. And at this point, because I've spent, I just turned 65 years old. So I'm 65, but I spent, gosh, ever since I was a teenager, probably looking and searching to find out what would fortify me, what would enrich me. And of course, over the last few decades, as I found different techniques, I would write about the techniques and I would teach them to other people. But I was always the guinea pig. Mm-hmm. I always used on me first. If they didn't work on me, how can I teach them to anybody else? They have to pass the Joe test.
Yeah.
To
begin.
So there are some definite tried and true methods. I'll talk about a couple of them. First of all, I'm a bookaholic. I love reading books. I still read a phenomenal amount of books. My favorite place to shop is Amazon. I'm a one-click shopper. There's a book, click, it's here tomorrow. And I love doing that. So I'm looking for the success literature. I read the old success literature. You know, the law of attraction, which people think is new, was actually coined in 1907. It's been around for a long time, and there's references to it all the way back to biblical literature. And so I will read the old literature. I will read the success literature of today because I'm fortifying myself. I'm keeping my mind enriched with this positivity. In a way, it's positive brainwashing. I'm keeping my mind going in a new direction. I know what it's like to be suicidal. I know what it's like to be miserable. And most of that is because of your thoughts. By paying attention to the success literature, I create new thoughts and I keep the thoughts up. The other thing I do is I pay attention to what I'm listening to. We already talked about what we're watching. So when I'm not watching the dramatic television shows, I like a good movie like anybody, but I pick and choose what's going to go into my head. And I have the awareness of, oh, that's a dramatic story. It doesn't mean it's going to be a drama in my life. I'll watch it for entertainment and not let it be programming.
Yes.
The music, I want to listen to upbeat music. Sometimes it's very no lyrics because the lyrics can distract me. I'm a singer-songwriter at this point. I've written 15 albums, and I've done my best to create what I call self-help music because so much music out there is limiting. I often tell the story that the Rolling Stones created a 1960s hit that everybody still listens to and sings along today. And if you ever have said, I can't always get what I want, that's a line in one of their most famous songs. I can't always get what I want. You end up finding out that even music programs you. So I want to be aware of my music as I'm going through my day. And I do have practices. I'm a great believer in tapping, which is the emotional freedom technique.
Oh, yeah.
I learned from the guy who created it, Roger Callahan. It was called thought field therapy then. Now it's EFT, emotional freedom technique, and that's the tapping, where you tap on different parts of your body to release different beliefs. I do that and teach that almost every day. Mm. Another practice, I've written two books about this, is called Ho'oponopono. And I wrote two books about this in Zero Limits, and then 10 years later I wrote At Zero. And this is a Hawaiian healing technique that is very simple. There's only four phrases you say, but it's to help release that stuck data, those limiting beliefs I was referring to earlier, by having a communication to what I'll call the divine. Mm-hmm. And you're doing these four phrases, which are, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. That's it. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. But as you're feeling whatever the issue or the problem or the frustration is, you are saying those inside yourself to your connection to a higher power, your connection to nature, your connection to all that is. It's kind of a prayer. It's kind of a petition. So that's another practice. And I guess one more that I'll give you is that I am a great believer in questioning beliefs, which I created a whole coaching program called Miracles Coaching and another one called Zero Limits Mastery, which are entirely focused on individually working with people so they can question their beliefs. I keep saying, and I've said it on this interview, we live in a belief-driven universe, but most of us don't know our beliefs because we take it for reality. Our beliefs look like reality to us, so we don't question them unless somebody points it out. which is why coaching is often so valuable. You can do this on your own. You can do it by reading the right books, doing meditation, reflecting on what's going on in your life, what could be the beliefs, and then questioning the beliefs. I'm a great believer, so to speak, or no pun intended, questioning your own beliefs, my own beliefs. Those are some of the things I do.
Hmm. Or you could just marry somebody that's the opposite of you. Can I tell a funny story on beliefs?
Yeah, relationships are the great mirror. You know? Yeah.
So my husband and I went to Iceland, and we got back, and people were like, "How is the weather?" You know, and I was like, and David literally said simultaneously, I said, "It was horrible," and he said, "It was amazing."
There you go.
And people were like, "Did you guys go to the same place?" Right. And for me, I was freezing the whole time. It was cold. For him, it was sunny the entire time.
Wow.
And both of them were true.
That's right. They're both correct.
They were both correct, right? And we both had a different belief about the weather. Now, was the trip amazing? Absolutely, right? But when people talk about, no, it really was cold. Well, yeah, it was cold. It was also sunny. It was also not raining. Yeah, it was both, right? And how are we going to look at that? My husband is like such an amazing teacher for me as far as like keeping those bliss colored glasses on all the time, you know? Oh my. Yeah, he's really, really lovely that way. So Dr. Joe, like I said initially, I have about 2 million questions I'd love to ask you, but we're already kind of out of time. So before we end the first portion of this show, and then we move into extra, but before we end the first part of this show, could you tell my audience how they get in touch with you?
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for the honor of being here and to get to share with you. I have a gift for everybody.
Yay!
I wrote a book called Attract Money Now, and I decided to give it away. So anybody that's listening can have it. Just go to attractmoneynow.com. There's a hardcover on Amazon. There's places you can buy the printed book. But if you want to read it for free, there's the PDF, which you can read online anywhere you want. Just go to www.attractmoneynow.com, and then you'll read the book. You'll have access to me, and anything else you want to know is probably right there. Free.
Nice. And the Attract Now, it has seven, it's a 7-step formula, right? So there's 7 steps to it. Is that?
Yeah. The Attract Money Now book is a 7-step formula that has worked for me. And of course, I went from homeless to living the lifestyle of the rich and famous at this point, getting to do some wonderful things like do the show with you. And the 7 steps are really important because the very first one deals with a lot of what we've been talking about, which is your mindset, which is your beliefs. And I feel that nothing you do is going to work unless your beliefs are in alignment with your goals. Because a lot of people have limiting beliefs about money. And I'll just give you a quick example. I can say this line, and everybody's going to finish it because the belief is in their head. Money is the root of all. They all said evil.
No, I said good. That's one of my lines.
And I hope a lot of other people said good, because money is not evil and money is not bad. But just stop for a second. If people are in real estate right now or in any business and they're trying to make sales, they want the big deal, they want cash, they want sales to come in, and that's on the conscious level. But if they unconsciously think money's bad or money's evil, they're not going to want it. They're going to find a way to sabotage it. They're going to find a way to push it away or delay it, or to make sure that if it does arrive, they don't get to keep it. Which is why so many people who win the lottery actually are broke and often in debt a year or two after winning hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. Their mindset wasn't correct. So my book, Attract Money Now with the 7-step formula, begins with that first step. And after that, I go into entrepreneurial thinking, making a difference in the world, giving. There's a lot of things. People may have heard of some of them, but probably not all of them, and certainly not all together as a 7-step formula. That's it. TrackMoneyNow.com.
Perfect. Thank you for that gift. That's amazing.
You're welcome.
All right. Are you ready for our 3 rapid fire questions?
Sure. Lay them on me.
Okay. Here we go. First, Joe, tell us a super tip on getting started in real estate investing.
The very super tip would be Be proactive. Take action. Do 5 to 10 things every single day. They do not have to be big things. Do 5 little steps. As long as you keep making those baby steps every single day, you're going to move closer to your goal. So take action.
Nice. I love that. And then what is one strategy on being successful in real estate investing?
The most underused tool that people in real estate are overlooking, maybe never even heard of, is the idea of getting publicity. I wrote a book on P.T. Barnum called There's a Customer Born Every Minute. Mm-hmm. And I learned from P.T. Barnum that publicity made him wealthy and world famous. And the newspapers, the media, all of that traditional stuff, including what's out there on social media today, they're starving for good stories. Feed the media stories about your real estate business. Think of human interest stories. Think of the way a reporter would think about you. Don't brag about your business, but find the hidden story about you, maybe your pastime, then why you went into real estate, or somebody that you work with, or somebody that you work for, or an interesting client. But create stories and feed that to the media. It's an underused marketing secret.
I love that. Nobody's even ever said that on this show. Thank you. You're right. It is overlooked. Okay. And then tell us one daily practice, and I know you have many, but tell us one that you would say contributes to your personal success.
It's a biggie. And I really want people to do this one too. Every night I make my to-do list for the next day. Now, on the to-do list, there's two columns. On the left column are the actual physical things I'm going to do, like at 3:30, a certain time, I'm doing the interview with you. That would go on the list. If I had other appointments, that goes on the left side of the column. The things that are a little bigger that are goals of mine, big intentions of mine, it could be a publishing deal in my case, it could be a real estate deal for somebody listening, goes on the right side of the column. Now, what am I doing here? On the left side, I'm telling my conscious mind, here's what we're physically doing tomorrow. The right side, I'm telling my subconscious mind, here's what I want you to do. So I am programming my mind with a request. I write that down. I look at it at night and I think about it before I go to sleep, because as I go to sleep, both of those columns are being worked on in my brain. The left column, I know I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to do the interview, whatever it happens to be. I'll go to the appointment, whatever. But the right side, I have made a request of my subconscious mind, which is connected to the collective unconscious mind, to go out and make the connections I need to make those deals happen. So it's kind of a psychological, esoteric technique of a to-do list where I'm using both sides of my brain to create the reality I want.
Kind of like a to-do hack.
That's good. That's a new hack. It's a shortcut to success. There you
That's
go.
That's right. I love that. Ooh, I love that. You know, I just did a talk at NASDAQ, and one of the techniques that I always use for being successful when I'm doing a talk is I have it loop. I record it, and I just have it loop. So by the time I wake up in the morning, by the time I wake up in the morning, I have it memorized because my subconscious mind has been working on it all night long.
There's been a lot of research on sleep learning, and that's exactly what you're talking about there. I even think the book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy, which has been around for a very long time, talks about working with your subconscious mind in ways like I was talking about and you were talking about. So that could be a resource for people, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
I love that. Okay. So we have more to talk about, Dr. Joe, and I'm excited about that. We're going to do that in the extra part of this show. Listeners, if you have not subscribed to Extra but would like to, you can do that at realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. And for those of you who are subscribed, please stay tuned for more with Dr. Joe and me. For those of you that are leaves right now, thank you so much for joining Dr. Joe in this conversation. I look forward to seeing you in the next show. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you next time.
thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.